this tonight. I have the heat on in the fellowship hall if you guys want to use that. You're welcome to. It might be a lot easier. Amen. Thank you again for that song. How many has had a good day? Say amen. Amen. Let's move along in our doors here. Tonight we're going to pick up in door number 8. We just got done talking about door number 7 and door number 6. We went over godless counsel and humanistic training in the educational institution. We talked about the dangers in movies and video games and drugs and alcohol and many, many other doors. But tonight I want to talk about a door that I would assume many, if not all of you, have probably either on purpose or accidentally opened. I know that I've had this door opened in my life before, and it's a door that is unfortunate when it opens, but when it opens, we seem to get trapped inside, and we seem to let the devil hang out for a little while. And it's, again, a door that sometimes you don't even know what's happening. Most of the time, it's out of your control. But I want to talk about the door of traumatic experiences tonight. There's events that happen in everyone's life that we just don't like. Would everyone agree with that? Events that you can't change, maybe something happened to you, maybe a loss of a family member, we could name them over and over and over again, but it's not necessarily the experience that's the door. It's what you do when the experience happens is how the door gets open and how the devil is allowed to come in. Remember, we have an adversary as a roaring lion, you know, walking about seeking whom he what, church? May devour. That word may is permissible. It says that for a reason. The Christian has power over the enemy through Jesus Christ. We have to literally allow Satan ground in our life. But in this traumatic experience, I've seen many, many people go through many, many traumatic experiences, and I've seen God get some glory out of them, but I've also seen the devil gain a lot of ground in a lot of young people's, old people's, man, woman, boy, and girl's lives because of traumatic experiences. Let's pray tonight and we'll get right into this. Heavenly Father, thank you tonight, Lord, for your word and for your truth. Lord, we thank you for this week. Lord, we know some events have taken place, Lord, that are out of our control, but one thing we can rest assured, God, is Miss Shelley tonight is in a better place, and we know that. We know that she's in your hands, and Lord, we know that she's absent from the body, present with the Lord. According to her testimony, she knew you, and I thank you so much for that. God, I thank you for our church tonight. Lord, I ask you now if there's someone here tonight, Lord, that's battling a traumatic experience, maybe something that happened recently or not so long ago, or maybe somebody here, Lord, that's been battling a traumatic experience for years and years and years, and they just don't know how to come out of that, and they don't know how to close the door to that. I pray, God, tonight that you'll reveal your truth to them. Lord, cleanse me of sin now, empty me of self, fill me with your spirit. Lord, bind the devil off this place in the name of Jesus, I pray. And all God's people said, amen. Every day, traumatic experiences happen in the lives of people that send them into a tailspin. These traumatic experiences range from being molested, witnessing a death, losing a loved one, a divorcing of parents, committing adultery, being raped, having a pastor, teacher, or youth director morally fail, and many other heartbreaking experiences. I'll tell you some experiences of my own. You know, growing up, when I was just 2 weeks old, I started from a baby, and I don't remember this, but I know that my grandparents raised me from the time I was 2 weeks old till the time I was 17 years old. I got married, and here I am now, fishing to have our 16th anniversary here in a couple of months, and I'm thankful for that. But here, growing up, although I had a good, solid home within my grandparents, I'll tell you, it wasn't always fun not having what I knew I should have been having as a little kid. As a young boy, you desire that relationship and that love from your mother and your father that everyone deserves. See, I'm already probably pushing some buttons in here, and I'm not meaning to. I'm just telling you, first and foremost, you're not alone in your experience. I promise you, you're not the only one who's dealt with these things, and we may not even be hitting on yours. But for me, growing up, I always desired something that I just never had. You guys understand what I'm talking about? I wanted that relationship with my mom. There'd be times, you know, I'd look forward. She'd come home for a weekend, and then I'd get, you know, it'd get comfortable for a couple of days. But in my mind, I always knew she was going to leave again. And then there'd be times where my dad was supposed to show up to pick me up. I'd be there waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting, and he'd never show up. And when he would show up, it was most of the time I just got dropped off at my other grandma's and grandpa's house so he could go do his thing. See, as a little boy, that hurt. And I didn't understand what was going on, but here's what happened. All along, see, the devil don't care what I think as a little boy. The door's open now. The traumatic experience has happened. No child should have to go through that. That is not God's design for any child to have to experience that. Everybody okay with that? That's not God's design. So through that, the devil would work in my mind and say things, you know, and it would be at the worst times. It'd be like when I was sad that my mom had to leave and I'd be crying and he'd say, see, if she really loved you, she would. You see how the devil works? And then there'd be times I'd be standing there waiting on my daddy not show up. I'd be there listening for every car that'd be coming down the dirt road. That's how it was. No, I don't want you to feel sorry for me because I just hate the devil. But here's what would happen. He'd say, you know, maybe if you were who he wanted you to be or maybe if you were somebody else, he'd actually show up and pick you up. You see what I'm saying? And now I'm dealing with a lie of what? Rejection? And I feel like I'm not good enough for my own parents? You see how traumatic experiences can work in your life? Folks, you might not have the same story I do, but your story might be, you know, I know people in my family that have dealt with molestation. Ladies in my family that have dealt with that. And today, they're still bitter and angry over that. And I know people in our family that, obviously in your family, you've witnessed death before. And you know, it ain't always easy when we witness death. It's not always the story of, you know, absent from the body, present with the Lord. That's not always the story. It's not always the good loved one that knows the Lord, has been saved for a long time, has a solid alibi of salvation, knows Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. We don't lose those kind all the time. Sometimes those die that we know we without a ray of hope. They're probably in hell today. And that's pretty traumatic to think about the face of a loved one that's gone, that's going to spend an eternity in a devil's hell. Is that not traumatic? But oh, what could the devil do with that thought? See, if Jesus loved him or her, he wouldn't have sent him to that place. But what does the Bible say? Greater love hath no man than this, and a man lay down his life for his friends. Folks, listen, the bottom line is that loved one, just like you, had an opportunity to come to know Christ. But it doesn't change the fact that it was traumatic to you and I. Divorcing of parents. My goodness, I watched my dad married 5 times over 15 years. Five times. And, you know, I don't remember the divorce of my mom and dad. I was so young when that happened, but I can tell you, it affected me. Even though I don't remember it, it affected me that my parents weren't together, joined in unity, raising their children how God designed it to be. It upset me. It was traumatic to a child. And do you think the devil thinks, well, he's just a child, I'm not going to pick on him? It's not how the devil works. The devil's going to use that to his advantage. You are a child, and he knows. He can send those thoughts to you, and you're going to believe every single one of them. Man, if your parents loved you, they'd have stayed together. If your parents really cared about you, they wouldn't put you through this. And then you go to this one's house, and all you hear is negative about that one. You go to that one's house, and all you hear is negativity about this one. You know what I'm talking about. Hey, I can't be the only one in here that grew up in a broken home. There's no way. Can't be. And if you didn't grow up in a broken home, listen, thank the Lord every single day that you grew up in a good home. Thank the Lord for that. Don't ever take that for granted. And listen, even if you don't consider it the greatest home ever, if mom and dad made it by the grace of God, thank God for that. If you can't thank them, thank God that He kept them together. That's a blessing that God saved you from. Going on about my dad. And I'm going to get a little further into the story. You know, I grew up, and as I became a little bit older, there'd be times we'd be sitting around, and, you know, my dad, he's an alcoholic. I'll just be upfront with you. He's an alcoholic. I've told you this before. But as I got a little bit older, the devil began to send thoughts to me. And he'd say, well, maybe if you could find some common ground with him, he'll relate to you a little bit more. Maybe you guys can have something in common, and then he'll be your buddy. You understand what I'm saying? Look, what I was looking for was the love of my father. But as I began to grow up, I'm just like, man, can't you at least just be my friend? Can't you at least have something in common with me? And there'd be times where he'd say, hey, go over there, go to the back of the truck and get me a beer and bring it back to me. And you know, like any normal boy that's curious, well, Daddy's doing it. Maybe I should try it. And I won't lie to you, there were a couple times I cracked one open, took a sip. Worst mistake of my life. Because it got worse and worse, got to the point where I would sit casually and drink with him on occasion. And here's the sad part, folks. That was really the only time that we bonded. You see what I'm saying? Is that God's design? See, is the devil saying, hey, now not only is the devil saying, when I'm young, if you were good enough for him, he'd love you. But now he's saying, maybe if you'll partake of some of the things he's doing, he'll want something to do with you. Folks, y'all hearing what I'm saying here? And now what the devil's trying to do is take out two birds with one stone. And can I tell you, if it weren't for preachers and men and women in my life that pulled me out of that life of sin and the grace of God that saved me, and I'm telling you, people say, why are you getting married at 17? I believe this. I believe God designed for me to get married that young so I could get out of here and up somewhere else away from all the things that I knew. I'm telling you the truth. God saved me from being an alcoholic today. The devil meant for me to be an alcoholic today. The devil meant for me to be a multi-divorced man and kids everywhere and adultery and just a sinful, wicked lifestyle. That's what he wanted. But God had better plans. And folks, I'm going to tell you this tonight. If you're living in the door and the devil has came in this door and used a traumatic experience in your life, can I say that you can close the door today? It is possible to close that door and see the potential that God has for you. I'll tell you right now, had I stayed here and kept going down the road that I would have went on, I'd not be your pastor tonight. I promise you that. Somebody'd be out there knocking on my door trying to reach me. Folks, listen. But God is rich in mercy. Amen. Very rich in mercy. When traumatic experiences happen in our lives, the Lord is so sufficient to help us through the power of His grace to respond properly in all given situations. We know where sin abound, what church? Grace did what? Much more abound. But when we resist God's grace and choose to become wounded, hurt, and bitter, and again I said choose to become wounded, hurt, or bitter due to circumstances, people, and events of our lives, the enemy of our souls will move quickly to monopolize the situation. I like the choice of the word monopolize. Anybody ever played Monopoly here? Y'all like that game? Now, do y'all play it with the rules of if you get low on money, you can start selling your property? Gets fun that way, right? Because, you know, but really and truly, there's always one or two in there. Everybody's strategy is to just own as much property as they can because they can control everything, right? Well, that's all fun in that game, but did you know that is exactly what the devil's trying to do to you? He's trying to monopolize your life. He's saying, hey, why don't you trade me this for this? And we'll be like, well, that doesn't sound so bad. And all of a sudden, we open up that door. He comes on in. And man, he's like, well, you've given me this. You might as well give me this and this and this and this. And pretty soon, what's the devil's job? It's to what? Steal, kill, and what, church? Destroy. And pretty soon we look around and we wonder, what has happened to my family? Well, we cracked open a door and we let the devil inside is what's happened to our families. There are people who through the years have been held in captivity to their wounded emotions of bitterness, hatred, and unforgiveness due to a violation or a traumatic experience that they have never gotten over. I've heard the worst of the worst events, and the enemy is out to destroy us through these events. As we go on tonight, I want you to start thinking right now in your mind. First of all, I want you to stop thinking about somebody else right now. I want you to think about yourself tonight. I want you to think about, obviously we're thinking about the Lord, but I want you to think about yourself and just ask yourself a simple question tonight. Am I an angry person? Do I have bitterness inside? Unforgiveness in my heart? or hatred towards anybody? Ask yourself that question tonight and be honest with the answer, because here's the deal. You might say, nah, I'm not like that. But let me ask you this. When you hear that person's name, how do you feel? When you see them in the store years later, how do you feel? When someone's talking about them and that name comes up, and they might not even be talking about the same person, but they just might have the same name, and you just cringe inside. Maybe you're sitting at family dinners and that aunt or that uncle or that dad or that brother or that somebody's name comes up and you just cringe. Why? Because you hate them. You have unforgiveness in your heart towards them. You're bitter at them. Can I say that you choosing to not forgive them is like you drinking poison and hoping that they die because of it? Folks, unforgiveness is key to all joy. Did you hear what I said? Unforgiveness or forgiveness is key to all joy. If the devil steals your joy by making you bitter and angry and hatred in your heart, and you choose to live in unforgiveness, listen, you're just going to die the same way you feel right now. But I'll tell you what if Jesus Christ had chose not to forgive us? What if Jesus Christ, the day when he was in the garden and he was sweating great drops of blood, what if at that moment, he'd have still been God, by the way. Can I say that? He'd have still been God. But what if he would have said, you know what? This is enough. I'm not doing this. I'm not going to forgive them with the penalty of my life. What if Jesus would have said that about you? What if Jesus felt about you how you feel about him, or how you feel about her, or how you feel about them, or let me take it a step further, how you feel about him? Folks, many of us in here right now are mad at God because we blame God for traumatic experiences. Can I say that when a loved one passes away, you know, the Bible says it is appointed unto man what? Once to die. Folks, every single one of us are going to taste death unless we're raptured out of here. It's going to happen to every single one of us. And here's the deal. It could be before I'm done preaching tonight. You just do not know. You don't get to choose that. But can I say, why should we be bitter at God about something that we know is going to take place? Our lives are made up of two different worlds, our private world and our public world. Our public world is under the control of a sovereign God. Our public world is made up of self, people, and circumstances. There are some unchangeable things about ourselves that we cannot change, just as there are some unchangeable things about people that we cannot change. You ever met someone that you just think, huh, that person's never going to change? You ever met someone like that? They're just set in their ways, right? There ain't nothing you can do about it. Well, remember that. There's nothing you can do about it, okay? There are some unchangeable circumstances that you cannot change. Let's just take a show of hands here. How many would say, you don't have to say what it is, but how many would say, Brother Drew, since you've been talking about traumatic experiences, I have thought about a traumatic experience in my life that I wish I could change, but I just cannot. Anybody want to just be honest? Pretty much all of us have had a traumatic experience. And if we could go back, and we would do anything to change it, wouldn't we? But folks, look, the truth is we cannot go back. Time machines don't work like that, right? We can't go back. We have one choice, forgive or not, until we come to the place that we are willing to accept what we cannot change in our public world. Those people and circumstances that we have no control over will continue to invade our private world. You say, what do you mean? Well, I'm saying the circumstance happened. It upset you. You know, even the Bible says, be ye angry and what, church? Sin not. It's okay to be angry, but not sin with the anger. You know, it's natural. If somebody comes after one of my children or my wife, I'm going to be upset with you. I'm going to be angry, and I'm not going to promise you that I'm not going to commit sin. But here's the deal. The Bible says, be ye angry and sin not. I cannot control what happened. So because of that, what I have to do is choose to say, you know what, God? This happened, and by your grace, and your grace alone, I can get through this thing. I choose to forgive that person. Because when you don't forgive them, think about this. The person you say you hate the most, that you just wish was dead. I know some of you probably had those words come out of your mouth before. I wish that person was just dead. You know, there's a special place in hell for that person. Listen, I've heard it all. Listen, that person that you say you just can't change and you just don't want to think about controls your mind 24/7. Why? Because you won't forgive them. You go to bed at night and you lay on your pillow and you see the image of their face in your mind. You try to go to sleep and you can't stop thinking about what happened 30 years ago. Why? Because you had never forgiven them. You wake up in the morning and you think about them again. You might see them out in public and you think about them again and again and again. What would happen if you would say, you know what, today I am choosing to forgive you. And by forgiving you, I'm not holding you accountable for what you did. God is that judge, people. He is the one that's going to judge them. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. God will take care of your situation, but you cannot change it. All you can do is choose to be bitter or not. And if I were to go around the room and say, how many of you would like to just live and die bitter? Not a single one of you would raise your hand and say, I think I'd appreciate that. I think I'd like that. Well, then why do we do it? Why do we choose to live bitter? And many people choose to die that way. Now, our private world is made up of our minds, our emotions, and our wills, our soul. We're going to answer to God one day for how we managed our private world. And can I say this? Weeks ago, we talked about in our spirit, soul, and body, and our soul is our mind, emotion, and will. Our spirit, soul, and body, we're to be preserved what, church? Blameless. That's right. Listen. So if I'm bitter, am I blameless? If I'm angry, am I blameless? If I have hatred in my heart towards somebody, even though we might think they deserve it, am I blameless? Folks, listen. We preached about it Sunday. Just how much like Christ are you? If I regard iniquity in my heart, folks, listen. The Lord's not going to listen. He's not going to hear you. He's going to laugh at your calamity. When it comes time and you think, oh, I need God now, listen. You have hatred in your heart. Your prayers aren't going through that roof right there. That sheetrock stopping your prayer life. You hear me? Folks, it's important to understand that we serve a just God. He's no respecter of person. He died for all sin. For you to sit there and think that your sin deserves to be forgiven, but that person's sin does not deserve to be forgiven. What kind of hypocrite is that? What kind of double-minded man is that? I'll tell you what you are. You're unstable in all your ways according to the Scripture. Who are we? Who am I to say they don't deserve forgiveness? Folks, it was 25 years old. I was 25 years old when I finally made the phone call to my mom and I finally made the phone call to my dad, and with tears coming down my eyes 6,000 miles away on a phone, I had to say, listen, I'm sorry for the way that I've treated you all these years because I resented you for what you did to me. But I'm not mad anymore. I was mad. I was bitter. I was upset. I did not appreciate what you did, but I don't want to hold you accountable anymore. The moment I realized all the hatred I had in my heart and all the bitterness and the anger that I had swept up inside of me, listen, it was coming out in my marriage. It was coming out towards my kids. It was coming out towards people around me. Listen, what goes in is going to come out. Eventually, that stuff is going to rage up inside of you and it's going to come out. And man, when I called and I listened and I talked to them, and I had to hear the stories, you know, well, this is why, and listen, I just listened. And today, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I have the best of the best relationships with either one of them, because that'd be a lie. I don't. But I don't hate them. I love them. I forgive them. They hurt me. And the devil used that for an awful long time. I'm standing preaching for 5 years with bitterness in my heart towards my parents. And now I've gotten the opportunity to minister to my sisters and my brother. And Lord willing, we'll see some victory in their lives over the same thing. And we say, but why would God put us through that? Well, here's what I came up with. He led me to be a youth pastor for a long time. And Brother Tim, if I could sit and tell you all the young men that I've gotten to help and gotten to tell my story to, and all the young men that I've gotten to invest in, and the ones that have had the broken homes, and man, I'm talking about homes, I thought I had a bad home. If I could tell you all the young men I've gotten to tell my story to, and the victories I've seen won in their homes, and the families reunited, and the devil just kicked to the curb, look, I believe the Lord took me through that, one, because he knew he was able to get me through it. I just had to look to him. And two, God never wastes pain. I'll say it again. God never wastes pain. I'm able to take what happened to me and say, look, if I can do it, you can do it. Here's how we do it. We start with forgiveness. But traumatic experiences, they're very real. We lose ground to the enemy when we allow the events of our lives to destroy our minds, emotions, and wills. We allow them to interrupt our private world. We must not only accept that we cannot change, or what we cannot change in our public world, people, self, and circumstances, but we must trade our bitterness and unforgiveness for forgiveness toward whoever it was that hurt us through our public world. It may be that we are mad at God for allowing that experience to take place in our life. Folks, can I say it was never God's design for sin to even be in this world? Do you understand that? Sin came into this world when that devil went to Eve, lied to her, she believed the lie, she took the fruit, and then she took it to her husband Adam, and he took it. And at that moment when Adam took that fruit, sin, death passed upon all men because of sin. Sin. One man's sin cursed an entire world. But can I say one man's forgiveness has the power to save an entire world? Folks, isn't that good to think about? One man's sin is all it took to curse what was perfect. And just me, I mean, I would love to just live 30 seconds in the garden before sin. I think that would have been an awesome experience. But oh, one man's forgiveness has the power to cover all that sin. Not only cover it, forgive it. And to make us whole. Folks, just think about the sin that's in this room right here amongst the 30 people that we have in here right now. If Jesus would have just died for us, that's a whole lot of sin, ain't it? But man, he died for billions and billions. Can I say just one drop of that blood would have been enough for it all? Crystal's going to come to the piano tonight and play a hymn of invitation. I feel the Lord is leading this away. This door is always a very personal door. And again, church, I'm not asking you to do anything for anybody else, but I just want to give you an opportunity tonight. We're going to kill that live stream. It's just going to be us and the Lord in here tonight. I finished early to give you some time to maybe get a little bit of help tonight. She's going to play a hymn of invitation tonight. And can I just say, with heads bowed and eyes closed, the live stream's off. You're not being watched anymore. No one looking around tonight. Can I say, that traumatic experience that I just told you about in my life, folks, I didn't choose that. I didn't want that, and I wouldn't wish it on anybody. But I'll also take it a step further and say I wouldn't trade it for anything now that I know what God has done with that. And can I just, I'll take it further, what God is continuing to do through that. I wonder if there's someone in here tonight that would say, Brother Drew, there's been a traumatic experience in my life. Maybe not recent, maybe in time past, but Brother Drew, I have some unforgiveness in my heart. Is there anyone in here tonight that would just raise your hand and just be honest and say, Brother Drew, that's me.